fresh from his television lockdown comedy Staged, back with another podcast series, but now starring as serial killer Dennis Nielsen in a new three-part ITV drama called Dez. David, remind us who Dennis Nielsen was.
Dennis Nielsen was a job centre worker in North London who had an apparently mundane life, but it turns out was one of the most prolific serial killers of modern times.
And the drama starts at the moment of Nielsen's arrest and his almost immediate confession after body parts are found in the drains of his house in Muswell Hill in North London. A quite unusual narrative device, isn't it, to start at the moment when many TV dramas would build up to that moment?
Yes, I suppose so. But that's what's one of the intriguing things about his psychology, about the whole story of Dennis Nielsen, is that he almost allowed himself to be caught. It was him that reported that the drains were blocked, which he must have known was because he was flushing human remains down his lavatory. So that he's impossible to really ultimately unpick what was going on inside his mind. But it was certainly a very dark place.
Let's hear an extract from the first episode in which Nielsen, having been arrested and confessing almost immediately to the murder, then explains his gruesome methods for hiding the bodies.
I took no pleasure in cutting up people or boiling heads or burning bodies. I did it because I had to. There was no more space.
How many bodies did you have in the house at any one time?
Well, I never did a stock check.
Or asked their names, it seems.
No, that I do regret. Yeah, I wish I could remember the names to tell you now. I really do.
I have to ask, why did you do this?
Well, I don't really know. I was really hoping you could tell me that.
David, I've got to say this. I think this is a brilliantly understated and nuanced performance. How do you approach playing such an emotionally elusive character as Nielsen?
Well, I suppose you just try and make his sense of it make sense from moment to moment. There's a kind of brutal logic to him, which in some ways is very accessible, even though it's a sort of human experience that one can only hopefully imagine. You know, he gets very agitated at one point because the sort of stuff you were hearing him discuss there, that people are focusing on the gruesome details of how he got rid of the corpses, and he sort of said, why are you focusing on that? If that's where you think the immorality is, it's the killing people that's the immoral bit. After that, they're just stuff to be got rid of. There's a sort of kind of emotionless thoroughness to that kind of makes sense. You have to try and make that, I suppose, imaginative leap into the world where that all makes a sort of sense.
And those sort of kind of almost dismissive hesitations, those verbal tics that he has there. There is, I think, a controversial documentary in which Nielsen was interviewed in prison. Did you study him? Did you watch that?
I did, yeah. There's that. There's also some home movie footage that he was quite fond of recording his life, and some of that exists. So yes, I could listen to him, I could watch him, and yes, there's an element of that without a doubt, because that helps you to unlock, you know, who that person is, the way they talk, the way they move, the way they present themselves, their body language, and all that. It hopefully helps you to key into the truth of what this ultimately unknowable human being is like.
He's deeply creepy in many ways. You have to inhabit him. Are there psychological consequences for an actor for playing somebody as awful as that?
It's hard to know, I think. I think you have to ask my wife how much. I know that in the run-up to filming, she had enough. There was a few times when she said, oh, can you do... Because I suppose one becomes slightly obsessive. The research phase is almost more immersive. Once you're filming, there's a day job to it. You know, approaching each scene as it comes, and you can almost, when the scene sails off into the ether, to a certain extent, you can leave them behind. I think perhaps the run up to it is where you get most kind of psychologically enthralled to the whole project, I think.
The run-up rather than the acting, being on the set, becoming... I've got to say, also, you look so much like him in the role as well.
There's a slight physical similarity, which I think is maybe why what led me to being cast.
And what about the relationship with the writer Brian Masters, played by Jason Watkins? Fascinating relationship, because he was the wannabe biographer. Did you get the sense that Nielsen saw Masters as an intellectual sparring partner?
I think so. I think he was delighted that Masters took an interest in him, because one thing that becomes clear from all the stuff that Nielsen wrote about himself is his narcissism, his sense of himself as the lead player in his own drama. And so to have someone, a very learned, very brilliant writer, come and want to understand you and to spend endless hours with you and to be fascinated by the minutiae of your life, I think that was heavenly to Dennis. I think he was, and at the same time, of course, he's in prison, but he's also aware that he's become this sort of celebrity. And for a man who'd lived this double life, for whom, you know, he'd been so hidden from society, to now have this weird sort of celebration of his life, I think, it's fairly twisted, but I think he got something out of that, without a doubt.
Yeah, and the theatrical analogy that you drew there as well, I mean, I wondered that, because he has literally a captive audience, doesn't he? Do you think he was an actor to an extent, wasn't he? He was playing a part.
Well, what's interesting is finding how much he understood himself, and therefore he seems to contradict things often in his many writings about himself, and even in the way he'll talk of having a sort of psychopathic disconnection from some of the things he does. At other times he'll talk about the great regret he feels and the grieving that he'll go through for these boys whose lives he's taken. It's very difficult to get a consistent narrative from him. And I think you're right. I think he was trying out different versions of himself and rather enjoying playing them. One of the reasons I think he did what he did is he had a lot of fantasies about being dead, and he would enjoy dressing up as his own corpse and looking at himself in the mirror. And he had very involved fantasies about necrophiliac acts on himself. So there was a huge and involved fantasy life, and a man who I don't know really understood who he was, although he would claim to be.
Yes.
A lot of self-understanding.
I hope you've managed to shake him off. When a script like this is delivered to you about a subject like this, what is the criteria that you apply to a script, whether you take it on or not?
It sort of depends when it arrives. I mean, I was involved in this from quite an early stage. I was working with the director, Lewis Arnold, on Broadchurch when he was developing. Right. Luke Neil, the writer, is... I have a connection through my wife, Georgia, to him. So I knew this was happening, and I kind of came into this sort of quite gradually, this project, and then was part of the development process. So I suppose I'd read Brian Masters' book many years ago, and it was always ticking away in the back of my head that there was a story to be told here, because it's so impossible to conceive of this man's life, you know, that he is a member of the same species as the rest of us. It's such a... It's joining those dots that I think, from an actor's point of view, that's fascinating.
And from an actor's point of view, very different role to the one that you played recently in staged a version of yourself alongside on Zoom, as you are at the moment, talking on Zoom, but you were with Michael Sheen as actors in lockdown. That must have been a lifeline for you, wasn't it, as an actor out of work at the time?
Well, yes. I mean, I was in the middle of making Around the World in 80 Days, a big, lovely, juicy period drama on the other side of the world. And then suddenly that was off. I was back home. I was locked in my house and there was nothing going on. So when staged came along as an idea, it was, yes, to be able to make something from our living room, what a treat. I mean, we didn't really know if we were going to be able to do it at first. There was a lot of sort of pressing buttons and finding out things that our various phones could do that we didn't realise they were capable of. But we did it, yes. Yeah.
Michael Sheen, known for playing real people, of course, Tony Blair, Brian Clough, David Frost, the list goes on and on. I just think he's Dennis Nielsen.
Michael Sheen. That's the trouble. He's not very good at being Michael Sheen.
But you're very good at being David Tennant. But is Nielsen is Nielsen your first real person, dramatically?
No, I played R.D. Lang a few years ago.
Right.
Of which there's a similar amount of sort of you know, contemporary material available.
Right.
So it's a slightly different thing. I mean, Michael, as you say, he's master at it, because it's that mixture of matching the kind of the mannerisms that are Googleable, frankly, but going sort of somehow beyond that, and the fact that Michael can do it to so many different people, it's an extraordinary talent.
Yeah, and just very quickly, as someone who makes a living from interviewing, I have to say that you are an annoyingly good interviewer, as revealed in your very successful side hustle, David Tennant Does a Podcast. A case of acting's gain being journalism's loss, possibly.
Oh, no. No, I couldn't do your job. Absolutely not. I can only do it if I've got lots of time and somebody that I know is going to be nice, is going to play nice, and that we can edit it afterwards. It's very much the enthusiasm of an amateur rather than the skills of a professional.
That's the test. Do it live next time. Yeah. David Tennant.
Yeah, never. Leave it to you.
David Tennant, live on Front Row. David starring a serial killer, Dennis Nielsen, in Dez. Really great watch. Incredibly creepy as well, I've got to say. But it starts on ITV on Monday night, 9 o'clock. David, thanks very much indeed. Now the time has come.